champions, Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Ruby, you all right over there?
I'm okay. It was a little steamy out there today.
It was a steamy day. They moved up practice from 10 to 9.
Maybe should have moved it up to about 5:30.
Yeah, that might have helped a little bit more. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast. Ruben Frank, Dave Zangara. We have a lot to talk about today. Some important injury news. We'll talk about that in just a minute, about Jason Kelce and what it means for the team going forward. We had a podcast before the open practice at the Link, which was a blast meeting a bunch of you guys. And we'll talk about that a little bit, but also some takeaways from that practice. And then we'll get into what we saw in the fields Tuesday.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
But Rube, let's start with the big news of the day. Jason Kelce surgery on his elbow. He's going to miss a little bit of time here.
Yeah, I think, opening day is September 11th is realistic, but, it's 5 weeks away, just under 5 weeks away, and it's going to be close. I mean, it's going to come down. I mean, he's 34, and it's a recovery, and I went to a bunch of websites looking for what they were saying, and I think you texted me the same thing. The range is pretty wide. It could be 2 weeks, could be 8 weeks. But you're talking about a guy who needs power in his arm to, you know, what he does, and it's going to be close. Obviously, he probably wouldn't have played in the preseason games anyway, but he's going to miss some significant time. And I mean, Jason Kelce's done this long enough that he doesn't need practice, but he likes it, and he likes getting better, and he takes it seriously, and he works on his craft, and it's significant time. And I mean, the good thing is they have Cam Jurgens, and he's had a really good camp.
They're in such a better spot this year at the backup center position than last year.
Yeah, no question. And Cam Jurgens got a couple of days because Kelce didn't practice the first two days. He was limited the third day with COVID progression. So Jurgens has practiced with the first team, did well. He's not Jason Kelce, but they're lucky to have him.
Certainly last year's backup was Nate Herbig, who was a solid enough guard, but snapping the ball was not something he was particularly good at, and it showed whenever he was out there. The timetable is the big deal with Kelce, and you're right. The timetable generally varies for this depending on how intrusive the clean out is. Right. That's what the team calls it, a clean out.
Should I just read the statement from them?
No.
Okay.
It is what it is. They call it a clean out. It's a surgery.
It's a scope.
It's only minor for the rest of us. It's never minor for the person who's going through it.
Well, it's an outpatient deal.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll undergo physical therapy at the NovaCare. And
from my understanding, they do expect him to be back for week one, but a lot can change. So they have to.
He's 34.
He's 34. Which, look, I believe that he will be back for week one, just because if there's any chance, if it's on the fence, we know he's playing, right? Like there's no,
sure.
Some guys, if they're on the fence, they're really on the fence. If he's on the fence, he's all the way over the fence. He's playing, they'll wrap it up and they'll do whatever they have to do.
Shoot him up.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and especially this is his last ride, which seems like that could be the case here. Then I think he's going to be on the field week one, but you do have to question, you know, what it's going to look like in his recovery.
Yeah, he started 122 straight games. It's the second longest streak in the NFL of starts at any position behind Jake Matthews, who started 127. It's the fifth longest in Eagles history behind Runyon, Herm Edwards, Jerry Sizemore, and Randy Logan. Hasn't missed a game since 2014 when the Eagles starting center was
David Mulk.
So
the Mulk man.
I know that streak means a lot to him. I mean, he took that first snap against Dallas last year and then left the game. So hasn't missed a game in 8 years. I know he wants to play. And he wants to play because they're a better team with him. So,
and that's why they're doing this now. And I had some people ask me, well, why didn't they do it earlier? Well, it's always better to not have surgery. So if, you know, if they were thinking this is something he can play through, then they're going to give him the opportunity to play through. You don't want to jump under the knife if you don't need to.
Sure.
But I think it became clear as camp went on that, okay, this isn't going to be okay by itself. Let's go in there. And it is a clean out. There's like particles that they take out to make it feel better. And we'll see.
Make it feel better.
Is that the medical term? Yeah. Make the boo-boo go bye-bye.
Arthroscopy. It's really an amazing thing. I mean, they make a tiny incision. They put this
arthroscopy sounds like a guy.
Arthroscopy.
I went to see arthroscopy at the man the other night.
Arthroscopic surgery is really it's an amazing invention. They put this tiny camera in the incision and you can see how much damage there is, and they just clean it out. They shave it down or whatever needs to be done. And we've seen Kelsey Strub. We have one of our shooters had a video of him on July 29th, which was the second day of practice, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you could see him wincing and, you know, kind of shaking out his elbow after a rep. And
it's his right elbow, too, which
it's his right elbow
matters.
Yeah.
It's the ball he snaps the ball with.
Yeah.
Or the hand he snaps the ball with.
He must have been in a lot of pain over the last week, mm-hmm. week and a half, because it was bothering him then.
And I noticed on Sunday at that public practice, they were rotating Cam Jurgens in. And I didn't make much of it because I figured, you know, they'll probably do that, right, with Kelsey and
right.
give him breathers. So I didn't think much of it. And then I noticed he wasn't out there at the beginning of practice today and went, well, there's probably something to this.
Yeah, Dave takes attendance copiously. Yeah, so we wish him the best.
Diligently,
too, and copiously. Ricky Bowe went to Wawa and asked me if I wanted anything. I said, can you get me a water?
Oh, he wants smart water.
You ever seen a water this big?
He probably took one look at you and was like, I got to get him the biggest shots they have.
This thing is 50.7 ounces of water.
It's good. It's a good looks by Ricky Bowe.
Yeah, so thank you, Ricky. But they're in good hands. I've been really impressed with Jurgens.
I have too.
He's really smart. He fits right. You know, he's got – some rookies just don't have that, like, that attitude that you need to – I mean, he fits right in with Lane and Mulata and – you know, whoever else is, I mean, Isaac and Dick, I mean, he just has that mentality of a veteran,
mm-hmm.
where he feels like he belongs. And I mean, you're talking about a rookie, a young kid. What is he? 21? I think he's 21, 22. Around these like all time great players. And, he's nonplussed by any of it. He just goes and does his thing.
He holds his own. And everyone that it's funny that one rep against Jordan Davis kind of went viral. I know it looks bad because Jordan Davis pushes him back, but he actually it wasn't a bad rep from Cam Jurgens. Actually, the fact that he got reset after both feet were off the air or up in the air is impressive. He has a really good understanding of leverage, and he's a lot stronger than
I thought.
You think about a 300-pound dude.
Yeah, exactly. Powerful kid. Low center of gravity, great balance, power, athleticism. Hopefully he doesn't have to play, but if he does, they're in good hands.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens there. We probably won't really get many Kelsey updates until week one.
Knowing the Eagles, we might not get an update till
inactives come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the news of the day. The other news is that Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard are coming back. They were limited participants in Tuesday's practice. They've been working through concussions. They're kind of on the same cycle here. They got hurt on the same day.
Last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So they're a week out, which is relatively typical for concussions. You know, concussions aren't always typical, but it's a good thing to see them coming back.
Can they be sometimes typical?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was good to see him back, and I'm sure Jalen was happy to have him back.
Well, not in team drills.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I was talking to Zach Pascal about that the Eagles actually have a return protocol for everything now. So when guys are limited, like if you're out more than a day, you're going to be limited. It doesn't have to do with how you're feeling or, you know, you could feel 100%. after some minor injury, you're still going to be limited your first couple days back, even though technically your designation might not be limited. Like he was saying, he didn't get a full load of reps till today, actually. So even though he was listed as practicing yesterday. So they really take care of these guys physically, and they're really careful. They err on the side of caution. And at this point in the year, that makes sense. There's going to be a time where, look, we got to get this guy back. But right now, and the injury list is pretty long.
It is pretty long.
There's a lot of guys out. Jaquiski Tartt, 2 days, personal reasons. Mm-hmm. I hope everything's okay there. The other guy I wanted to mention, well, Kenny Gainwell popped up on the injury list with a hip. He looked okay. He was out there. Did you see we were watching return drills, and he was standing behind Jason Huntley and Britton Covey, leaning against the goalpost. And when there was a return, he would like step forward and like in catching it in his mind, doing mental reps. I like that. But he was out there. He looked okay. So we'll see. It didn't look super serious. But the other one I wanted to mention, Grant Calcaterra has been out really most of camp now.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you know, panic time yet. But I mean, he's a guy who, when this all started, I mean, I think he had a pretty good chance to make the roster. And he probably still does. But
who else is making it?
That's part of the equation. It's not like anybody's, you know, anybody's.
I mean, they have other tight ends, but I still think he's in the lead.
He probably is. But you'd like to see, he's missing valuable time, even just how many reps he can get when the season starts. I mean, he needs to get back. And he was out there working out on a side field today, but he's been out over a week now. So the full list is in my story that is on our website. But obviously Kelsey's the main guy. And as soon as we get any kind of updates, which we probably won't, we will let you know.
Yep. Public practice. It's not really open. It's public. Right? Not anyone can show up. You have to have a ticket.
True.
Which is cool. I think they said they raised
$350,000.
Yeah. And it all goes to the Eagles Autism Foundation, which does great work. So
great work.
Good for them. I think people mind a lot less when you're a $10 ticket. It goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's being put to use. So
yeah. And we had a good time out there. It was good seeing everyone.
It was great. We wanted to thank everyone for coming out. We didn't really get to thank that many people during that podcast because we've met so many after, but it was cool. Meeting some people that I've like seen and interacted with
right
online, meeting them in person.
Can we talk about the football card?
Sure. Yeah.
Let me see if I can fire that up on my phone here.
That was listener Christian who created a,
see if I could do this,
guy in Indy sports card.
I can't really see it too well, but it's a,
yeah,
it's a guy in Indy football card. And he kind of incorporated some Eagle Eye inside jokes.
Yeah. Which there are probably too many at this point.
Fine line. Yeah. So yeah, that was very creative, very clever.
Yeah. It was fun getting the, just chat with people for a little while. Yeah. And eventually we want to do something like that again, maybe not at a practice, have a time where we can do a live podcast, maybe take more questions from people who are actually there instead of through the chat.
We're thinking of doing a podcast at Dave's Front Yard.
Yeah.
Be Dave's Front Yard podcast. So we'll keep you posted on that.
That sounds great. From the public practice, the big highlight was, and it's a kind of a disputed highlight at this point, it was the Jalen Hurts deep ball to AJ Brown in the front corner of the end zone. It was a great pass. AJ changed his course a little bit to catch it. Jalen dropped it in a bucket over James Bradbury. It was the loudest cheers of the day. And then Jonathan Gannon said when they went over plays this morning, he popped that one up on the screen as a win for the defense because he thinks it would have been a sack.
Yeah, and that's a gray area sometimes, you know, whether a play is a win for the offense or defense, but either way, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And they're never going to agree.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Well, and Jalen makes it really tough because he's, you know, he's so elusive, and there are so many plays where, yeah, a normal quarterback might be sacked, but he's probably getting away from it. And I think it does lead to a fun back and forth between, it's not even the players as much. The players right. don't coaches. Care, but the coaches really care.
Yeah.
And they get a little contentious at times about what was a sack. And no, that's not a sack. He would have gotten away from that. And sometimes, you know, there'll be whistles at practice. Sometimes there's not a whistle, but the play kind of dies off. It's a fun little back and forth.
Hassan Reddick was talking about that today, and he said the pass rushers are like, you're always careful around a quarterback. I mean, you don't want to be near him and be full speed. And he said with Jalen, you even take that to another level just because he's so unpredictable and you just don't know where he's going to go next. So he said, we're like, you get your first burst and then you're like backing off because
he had this and
don't want to get the quarterback
in hurt. That public practice. He ran quite a bit. And I think it ended up feeling like a game. Even A.J. Brown said when he dove for that football, like he doesn't dive in practice, but he was kind of in a game mindset because there were 30,000 people cheering for him. And
you get in that stadium.
Yeah, you start to feel. And I think Jalen felt a little bit too. He was running, which might not be a good thing. I mean, if that's his, you know, flip the switch, I'm in game mode, now I start running. But there was the one play where he juked BG, and it really looked like the Saints playoff game. It was fun. It was right foot in the ground. Take off the other way.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, Andy Reid, when they started doing, I think they called it flight night back then.
I don't bring that up anymore.
Yeah.
Stuart Bradley.
Yeah. Towards ACL.
Mm-hmm.
But he eventually turned that into a walkthrough just because he said the guys treat it like a game because we're in the stadium and guys get hurt. And I think the Stuart Bradley thing was kind of a fluke. Somebody got hurt in there a couple years ago.
Joe Osman?
No, it was it was a receiver trying to break up an interception. Was it Rager? Did Rager get
it? Yeah, it was Rager.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he healed really quickly. He was back for week one.
Yeah. And caught a big, big long pass. Downhill ever since. But it was I mean, it's crazy how many you get 30,000 people in that place for a practice.
It was fun. And they filled that lower bowl for
the
most part.
The players were pretty – some of the tweets were pretty funny. AJ tweeted about it. Zach Pascal tweets like, a practice? You guys showed up like this for a practice? What are the games going to be like? Yeah. This is Philly. It's going to be crazy.
It'll be fun. You want to go over some stuff from today?
Let's do it.
I think we did most of housekeeping. We talked about the injuries. We brought up some of the important ones.
Javon Hargrave back after one.
Yep, that was good. LaRaven Clark's still missing, so
Mulata has to stay at left tackle.
Yes. Yes. Well, they had so they're without their top three left tackles, and I think it really has in the last few practices, it's really affected the offense having Coyote Awosika over there, who, look, he's still a developmental prospect. He's not ready to play left tackle on this line, so it's kind of hurt the offense noticeably in the last few practices.
Yeah, and LaRaven's a veteran, but things did not go real well with him out there.
No, it certainly didn't. This was kind of a weird practice. I worked a lot of backed up situations, so there's a lot of running. Jalen didn't throw the ball an awful lot, so it was kind of a boring practice, to be honest with you, but that's the reason I led with Britton Covey. Watching him in punt return drills is really fun. He's just so smooth. You know, he just looks way more natural than everyone else they have doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And he's so secure with the ball. And, I mean, we haven't even seen his moves. I mean, he's really quick with the ball in his hands. And, you know, right now they're just focused on fielding the punts. And he catches everything. And he doesn't fight the ball. Like, you see some of these guys, even when they catch it, they're like, they're fighting with it. But mm-hmm. he's just really, really slick with the ball.
There was a lot of sun shining that way today.
I noticed that.
You didn't notice that. I was impressed. It's such a simple little thing. But him just being able to put his hand above his face mask, block the sun, and still smoothly catch the football. It's something that sounds so silly because it looks so easy. That is not easy. There are a lot of moving parts. And he's holding a football when they started the focus drills. He's holding a football in his left hand. He's blocking the sun with his right. And then he's still able to bring it down and catch the ball. He doesn't seem distracted by anything else that's going on when he's returning punts. And that's a really big deal because a lot of things are going on when the bullets are flying when you're returning. And I've been really impressed. And I've been impressed with him in offense too.
Yeah.
He's very quick inside. He shook Josiah Scott in a one-on-one drill today that was very impressive. So I think he can play as a slot receiver, but if he makes this team, his primary job is going to be as a returner. And he's been really good there.
Yeah, I think to what you just said about the sun, I think Jason Huntley lost one in the sun just mm-hmm. before. I mean, Covey caught one, and just finding a way. He's a really – there's something about Covey. He's got – like, I feel like he's got all – he's got like the – he's just got the cheat codes, you know.
At that position, you can't get flustered as a returner. And I don't want to make this pick on Jalen Reagor Day. He looks flustered at times when they're running those drills. Like they did it again today, and I got it on video, so you guys can check that out on the website. But they ran the drill today where they have a football in their hands. The ball's coming down. They toss it up. They catch the punt, and then they catch the ball they threw to themselves. That's tough. That's a lot going on. It's tough to keep your focus. It's like juggling. Reagor threw his ball too high. He's kind of scattered, drops the punt, doesn't catch it. He couldn't do it. No problem for Covey.
Yeah,
I don't think he's the same athlete as Jalen Reagor.
No.
No way. If you could just hand the ball to Reagor and make him the punt returner, fine.
Yeah, I think Covey's going to make the team. We talked about it out of the link the other day, but I've gone from, you know, practice squad, get him going. Maybe at some point he can help you, but, I mean, he's our best returner.
Yeah, and another thing to keep in mind, we didn't talk about him in injuries. Greg Ward has now missed many days with a toe injury. Greg Ward is not a lock for this team. It really might come down. If they keep six receivers, it might come down to Greg Ward or Brayton Covey.
Yeah. Greg Ward has been such a good Eagle, and, you know.
It hurts to talk about them cutting him, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I just have so much admiration for him. You know, the guy was a college quarterback, and he does the position change. And 2 years ago, he led the team in catches because nobody else could catch a football. I think on third and four, he's money. I mean, he's such a solid third down receiver, but he's not that vertical threat you want in the slot that Nick wants. He's got the lowest yards per catch in Eagles history, and the eighth lowest in NFL history by a wide receiver. And look, I mean, he is what he is, and he's made so much of, you know, of his career for not having tremendous physical tools. He's been a really good player, but if, you know, you talk about keeping the best guys, Britton Covey or Greg Ward. I mean, to me, you keep Britton Covey. He's better. He's just better right now.
Yeah. I agree with that. And maybe not. Maybe he's not as polished as a receiver.
Right.
But that wouldn't be his role.
Right.
You know?
And it wasn't Greg Ward's role until a bunch of guys got hurt. And he did okay on it. And, you know, he became a really good slot receiver. But I there's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, if you keep Covey around and a couple guys, you know, if a couple guys get hurt and you need him to play some slot, like second half of the year, he could handle it.
Probably right.
Yeah. You know, it might take a little bit, but
he's an older rookie too, and sometimes that matters, having just a little more life experience. He's 25.
Yeah, had a little chat with him. Don't tell Sack. Wasn't allowed to, but I did after practice. I love his mentality. I love his attitude. I mean, this is a guy that spent 2 years in Chile. I asked him how to pronounce it. He wasn't sure, but. So, yeah, I think you learn you got to learn a lot of life lessons being away from home as a kid in another country, another culture. I think there's something about him. He just seems like whatever comes up, he can handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of those guys that you want him on your side because you feel like he can handle anything that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Impressive kid.
All right. Next one, Brandon Graham had a sack on Tuesday. That was the party at the quarterback play.
Right.
We were standing next to each other. Everyone's in the backfield. Hassan Reddick had a good rush. Jordan Davis was pushing up the gut. The pass rushes looked pretty good.
Yeah.
In general.
I actually talked to Hassan Reddick about that play mm-hmm. and just what a weapon Jordan Davis will be in the pass rush game. And he said, you know, even you know, when he's not getting a sack, the push he gets is unbelievable.
And then it's just up to like Reddick and BG and Sweat to clean up.
That's exactly what he said. He said, you know, he gets the push and we're going to clean it up. And he's also said he'll get a couple too, but just because of it, you know, just with the effort and the power. But and he's really high on Sweat. I mean, I think BG is too, but, mm-hmm. and Reddick's never been around Sweat before, but I mean, he's like, how many sacks is Josh going to get just being around Jordan Davis? Just stay around him and you're going to get to the quarterback. He's really confident that the pass rush was terrible last year. It was one of the biggest issues on this team. And they brought one guy back and you get BG back. I think Sweat has to be better, but I'm still not sold that it'll turn into production because they've had big name guys before and it didn't, but certainly feel better about where the pass rush is now than last year.
Yeah. I think the combination of adding Davis and adding Reddick
and getting BG back.
Yeah. Getting BG back.
It should translate. Yeah.
It should. Yeah. You're right. Nothing's a given. And having, you know, Milton Williams and Teron Jackson, their second years, they're going to be just rotational players. It kind of raises the level a little bit of the entire room.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talent in that D-line room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in those two rooms.
Those two rooms. Or sometimes one room.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew threw back-to-back interceptions. Neither of them are really his fault. He's had a bad camp, honestly.
What do you make of his camp?
He's been bad.
Is that just a veteran guy who...
It's tough to say because we haven't seen him in a training camp before.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's had a few good moments.
Yeah.
But overall, you know,
more bad moments than good moments.
Yeah. If people came into this summer thinking, well, maybe there'll be some kind of quarterback controversy. Nope.
No. He also strikes me as a guy who like the ultimate, like, I'm just going to wing. I'm just going to drop back and wing it. I don't care how tight the coverage is.
Yeah.
I just kind of, he just strikes me as that.
Maybe he's like airmailed some at times. It's been kind of a funky summer for him so far.
Yeah.
But these two, it was back-to-back plays and 7-on-7s. I didn't really feel like either of them were his fault. The one was a great play by Kayvon Wallace, who.
That was the second one.
Yeah. That was the first one.
Yeah.
Kayvon had a diving pass breakup, hit it right to Davion Taylor, who took it the other way. And Kayvon's had a really quiet camp. He started off with the ones when Anthony Harris wasn't back full go. And then he's kind of been dropped. He was with the threes for a while on Tuesday. So it hasn't been good for him. So that was nice to see him finally make a play. And the next one, Minshew threw it and went right through Quez's hands and got picked off by Kaiser White. So neither of them were really his fault, but it kind of tells you he's even throwing picks when it's not his fault. This camp.
Quez focus a little better on that one.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about Quez, but that was just a,
He has some weird moments.
He has some moments where, you're right. He had that one today. He had another one where in a one-on-one, you could hear the coaches yelling at him for not looking back for the ball. But then he has other, like he had that diving catch today too. Right. That was great.
Yeah.
So he's shown up. I'm still fairly confident that he'll be a contributor this year.
Oh, I am too. I would like to see a little more consistency from him. It seems like, I don't say every day, but like maybe every other day, there's a ball that you just like, come on, Quez.
And there was one earlier in camp, I remember. Down the right sideline where I thought it was a beautiful pass from Hurts, and it just felt like he never hit the next gear running the route, and it dropped in front of him. And Quez is so fast that like when a ball drops in front of him, you go, how did that happen? And it just felt like he never kicked it into the next gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of that's probably tracking the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the next challenge for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something we took for granted from Deshaun for so long. It's not just speed. Deshaun tracked the ball better than anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So Quez has to work on that a little, but dangerous weapon.
Yeah. One-on-one drills. A.J. Brown nearly had a great catch over James Bradbury, but on the transfer, bringing it down, Bradbury knocked it loose. It was not a catch to the chagrin of some fan on the sideline.
Yeah, a fan. Yeah. Well, yeah, you wrote it. But, a fan yelled that it was a catch, and Bradbury, he took off his helmet and he yells over. No, it wasn't.
It was not.
It was not. I mean, he took two steps and then just couldn't control it. He didn't finish the.
Yeah. Oh, they weren't really steps. They were him landing.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Ball came out. Yeah. But it was good work. It's good action. When those two lock up, it always is. Yeah.
And it was, Brown did something on that rep that we've seen him do a few times. And he was asked about it after practice by Jimmy Kemsky. He won't tip that the pass is in the air too early. Like, that was the one where he knows the ball's coming, but he doesn't put up his hands until the last second. So it gives the DB less time to react. It's kind of a savvy veteran move. And we've seen Brown do that now a few times. And he admitted that that's something he works on. And he's cognizant of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jimmy Kemsky interviewed me today.
Oh, he's been doing that with a bunch of the beat guys.
Yeah, it was fun. Okay. Yeah, he asked me who my least favorite player ever to cover was.
Who'd you say?
I said Bill Romanowski.
Oh, that's fair.
He's a jerk.
Yeah. I like that he went back for Romanowski.
Romo.
Anything else in here? Nothing crazy. Dallas Goedert won a rep against.
Oh, Dallas had a really wild catch there on a deflected ball.
Yeah, it was. My next observation here. It went through A.J. Brown's hands, bounced off a defender, and Goedert looked shocked that the ball, it must have bounced, 5 yards out to him?
I wouldn't say 5 yards, but yeah, 8 or 10 feet.
Okay.
It was a fluky play, but Dallas has been on the wrong end of a couple of fluky plays.
He has. That interception was the craziest thing.
Yeah, it was. We'll never see that again.
Zach Pascal.
He's looked good.
He's looked fine.
Yeah.
He made a one-handed catch in 7-on-7s. They've been working him inside. They've been working him outside. He's a versatile guy. He's going to be the fourth receiver on this team. I know some people think that, you look at his, you're right over there.
Yeah, I'm okay.
The
sun got to me today, Dave.
I know. You're in the same fog that the Eagles were in late in practice.
The malaise of fog. Yeah. The fog of malaise, whatever you want.
I like Pascal, and I know there's this thought that he could be a surprise veteran cut because the contract tells you that. I'd be really shocked.
Yeah, me too. And he's really assimilated very quickly. I mean, he missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
And physically too, not just mentally. I mean, mm-hmm. he knows the offense, but he hasn't played with these guys before. So I think he actually looks like himself again. I don't know. He looked like what did he say? He lost 16 pounds.
Yeah.
But he looked. He looked.
I don't know what himself looks like. I've never seen him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just looked. He didn't look gaunt today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look good.
We talked a lot about Brent Covey, and we've talked a lot about him throughout camp. But another undrafted guy who I'm starting to take notice of is Reed Blankenship, the safety who got some second team reps. He's made some plays. I don't think there's a spot on the roster for him, but worth keeping around probably.
He's a little chippy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you notice him. He jumps out at you a little bit. He's and if you're an undrafted free agent, you got to do that stuff. You got to do something to keep people's attention, and he does it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good little player.
Vic Fangio is back at practice today.
That's good for him.
Yeah,
good to see him.
What do you think when they bring these coaches by? How much do you think they actually sit down and talk to them about what they've seen, what they think, or do you think it's just a day of practice and you get to hang out?
I think if you have a guy like Vic Fangio, you're going to use that resource. And
it's a little different. So last year they had Mike McCoy around and they've really worked, Nick has worked with
Yeah.
You know, Nick and Shane have spent a lot of time with Mike McCoy. They know Fangio, like Gannon knows Fangio, but I don't know if there's the same relationship there.
I think if you have that guy in your building, you sit down at lunch and you pick his brain. You know, we're thinking of running this. You know, what do you think of this look? And I would do it.
Why not? Can't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. My last observation today was just that I didn't like the last period.
Yeah, we were kind of standing there just dumbfounded.
It felt like everyone thought practice was over.
Yeah.
They had one period left. They had a water break, which not knocking the water breaks. You need water breaks, especially on a day this
hot. Excuse me, man. I'm going to take a look.
But after that, it just felt like let's go. Let's get the energy back. It was a special teams drill.
It was just a lot of dead air.
It was just it felt like the air got sucked out of that place.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously really, really hot. It was getting later in the
morning.
You gotta
finish strong.
Yeah, you do. And it was weird because they would they were doing returns and they would run a, you know, maybe the jugs machine was tired. But they'd do a kick and a return, and then it would be like 4 minutes before the next rep.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was like nothing was happening. It was painful to watch. That was a strange.
The first time I've experienced that at a Sirianni practice.
Yeah. That was Michael Clay was running it.
Yeah. Normally, like, it's pretty breakneck speed. You're getting in and out. Maybe it was a weird thing. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was
probably nothing to worry about, but
no, I don't think so. But if it keeps happening, you gotta ask Nick about it.
Yeah.
Finish strong.
My stupid observation of the day was that the jerseys were reversed today. Normally in practice, offense wears green, defense wears white. It really does throw me off when they reverse that. Does that not throw you off?
No, nothing throws me off. I couldn't tell you at the end of practice what color they were wearing anyway. I just don't pay attention to that.
How do you not pay attention? Players wear jerseys.
I know. I understand that. I just don't like – I watch the player, not the jersey.
Yeah, but you need to know which side the offense is on, which side the defense is on.
Well, I know that.
And especially when they have
– I do know which side the offense is and which side the defense is. I just don't – I mean – when I'm watching practice, I can tell you who's on offense and who's on defense. But what I'm saying is, like, if you asked me 2 hours after practice who was in white and who was in – I don't know.
Well, it's the same every day until today, and they changed
it. I just don't pay attention.
And I think the reason they changed is offense would be – or the team would be wearing white at the game. They normally – they started doing that last year. They put the offense in whatever color they were going to wear.
That makes sense.
For the game. But it throws me off in practice, especially when – like this time of year when there's 90 guys on the roster and they have multiple numbers.
Yeah.
It's not helpful for attendance.
But you can – oh, that's why it bothers you, because of attendance. It always comes back to attendance. How about post-practice? That's when we do our interviews.
Yeah. I'll let you start. You talked to Hassan Reddick for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting stuff from Hassan. And it's funny how it's worked. Like I've always been in, like Dave and I split up the interviews after practice, and I've always been at the other interview area when Reddick talks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the first time I got to spend some time with him. And he was really interesting talking about how this was the first place he's been where the coaches really involve the players. He said, not just me, but they involve the players in what do you like to do? What are you good at? What's the best way to use you? What don't you like to do? What do you feel like doesn't accentuate your strengths? And they consider it. And they're not going to just let a player do whatever he wants. That's not what it's about. It's about learning as much as possible about the player and what he likes to do. And then, you know, trying to tailor the way he's used to his strengths and what he wants to do. And, you know, he said it gives the player some ownership about, you know, they feel like they've played a role in designing, you know, the plan for them. And he said it motivates everybody. Everybody feels like the coaches are listening to them, which is important. And he said it just hasn't always been that way in his career. And he said at times he's had position coaches that'll have a conversation with him about, you know, what do you want to do? But he said this whole staff is so tuned into what the players think they're good at, what they want to do. And he said, you know, they're not just going to call those things, but they're going to take it into consideration when they're figuring out how to use everyone. And says he said he's in a better place mentally than he's ever been as a football player because of that, because he feels so locked in. he talked about playing the inside linebacker down in Tennessee, and he just wasn't what he wanted to do. It wasn't what he was good at. And just he feels like he's going to be used better here than he ever has been. So when you're happy and you're content and you're doing what you want to do, you're generally going to be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that translates into production. He said he really likes dropping back. He said you probably won't see it as much as you've seen
it here. I still don't understand what the Cardinals were doing with him. Like, they made him an inside backer, and it was pretty clear that that wasn't going to be his best position.
Yeah. That's why some teams don't win. So, but it was a good conversation. I'll write that up for a story, probably, I guess, for tomorrow or the next day. And I think he's having a pretty good camp. I think he also talked, boy, he was raving about Jordan Davis. He said he hasn't seen a lot of young players make the leaps that Jordan Davis has made just in the last week. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. I mean, you could see how powerful and big and dominating he was early here and there, but he's making plays all over the place. And he just said he is just like takes it to a new level every day. Just said what a problem he's going to be. And it's true. He's something else. So it was a good conversation. I'm curious to see how all that translates into what he does on the field.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been making some plays every day.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's not just Hassan. It's a bunch of his teammates and the coaches are all like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah.
And to hear the veterans really talk about it, like a guy like Reddick is noteworthy.
And Fletch, and he's going to take mm-hmm. Fletch's job and money.
Yeah.
And Fletch is so supportive of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just part of the culture that Nick has built here.
Yeah. So. Jalen Hurts talked today.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff for him. You know, it was funny. You know, it was his birthday at the public practice, and he said it's his first time he's ever had 30,000 people sing him happy birthday. I said, yeah, I mean, I bet. I don't know when else that would have happened, but it is funny in a way that his birthday falls every year during football practice time.
I didn't even think of that. I guess his birthday would be the same time of year every year.
It would be. That's how that works generally.
Yeah. I think we should have different birthdays every year, because like mine's in November, so I'm always swamped with work. I never get to really celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in 2023 I'm gonna have my birthday like in April.
Let's move it.
Yeah.
April is my birth month, so if you could.
Maybe I could do June.
There you go. You can have that.
June. What do you think? Like June 12th. All right. I have a new birthday.
But that's always it is funny in a way, because his entire life he's been playing football on his birthday, or he's tired from playing football on his birthday, and he got to enjoy it a little bit.
I don't think he ever gets tired.
I bet he does.
Not sure. Maybe.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff though from him.
One observation on Jalen Hurts. I really feel like his delivery is more overhand.
Okay.
Have you noticed, like, I'm not saying there was a hitch, but he just seems to be really focusing on coming over the top. And I think it's putting a little more zip on his ball.
Interesting. I haven't thought about that. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. Take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Go through some film of last year. It struck me today. I'm going to say it's exaggerated, but he just really seems to be focusing on coming over the top.
Well, I know he made some mechanical changes. So.
Yeah, that might be one of them.
Yeah.
Or I could be totally off base.
We chatted with AJ Brown a little bit.
How'd that go? I wasn't.
It went well.
I was talking to Jack Driscoll at the time.
He is a.
That was riveting.
He's very insightful, and he tries to answer questions, which I always appreciate. Like, some guys just want to talk about what they want, and look, whatever you want to do in that setting is up to you as a player. But he really tried to answer the questions, specific wise, and it was funny. He got himself in a little trouble answering my question about yards after catch and how much of that is instincts and how much of that is. Do you work on it and can you improve it? And he said, absolutely, I can improve it. I work every day on that. And he started going into the specifics and he said, I got to stop myself. I'm giving away too much right now. But he's been really fun to watch. He's got a ton of targets. He's been everything as advertised so far.
Yeah. I love the inside routes they're running with him. And I think Jalen's made strides on that stuff. He's really good in traffic, mm-hmm. And I think that's where he's getting a lot of yaks, yards after the catch, just short ball in traffic. He's just so strong. He can, he can make space for himself. And Jalen's just got to have a little anticipation. And I think he's gotten a little better on that. It seems. And he hit some big plays on that. Yep. I mean, the Eagles over the last 3 years have the fewest big plays, 40-yard plays in the league. And AJ has the most. So he's definitely.
And they're not all deep balls.
He's
not, blowing the top off all the time.
No, catch and run. And those are higher percentage throws. So even if you don't get yards after the catch, you're still moving the sticks.
Exactly. You got anything else?
No.
All right. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye
Podcast. Pass out somewhere.
Enjoy the Eagle Eye Podcast. Please rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, please click the like button and subscribe there as well. We'll get Ruben IV. That's all for us today. We'll talk to you soon.